Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
My next guest reads cookbooks for enjoyment. Author and baker Graham Hurtrich is with me in studio today. He never loved the length of a novel, but found his niche with culinary reads. How are you?
Hi, I'm really good. Thank you. Yeah, it's kind of funny. I didn't know until much later why I loved cookbooks so much. And that is because I was only actually diagnosed with dyslexia when I was in college, when I was 20, about 19 or 20. More recently, I was also diagnosed with ADHD. And I think that's where, looking back at it now, that's where my love of reading cookbooks comes from.
Why? What was different about the cooking magazines and the cookbooks?
From a dyslexic point of view, it's all kind of point format. It's all short, little paragraphs. Everything is like in a list. It's quite easy. Like when I look at a novel, I just get bombarded with, the words all start to jumble up in my head.
Yeah.
And in pages, they don't even make sense to me. And picking up a novel of 100 or 200 pages is just mind-blowing. Now, I have done it. I have read novels and stuff like that. But it's just, I got so much more enjoyment as a kid reading cookbooks. And I used to read like Dreena Allen's Simply Delicious and things like that. Like by watching her on the telly, I saw what she was doing and then I could read the books. And it was just made life so much easier for me to read them,
Diagnosed, you said, at 20...
Yeah, about 19 or 20. I went to college, I was studying culinary arts.
Had you always suspected, perhaps, maybe, that you,
no,
you had
so dyslexia? No, so, like, this is... I was in primary school in the 1980s. It was 1996 when I went to college.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a thing. I actually did recently talk to my third class teacher about it.
Right.
And I just commented on it and I was like, she did definitely help me out. She didn't know what was wrong even then. So that's like 1983 or 4. So it wasn't really there. It wasn't really discussed. I didn't know what was wrong.
Was there do you feel, looking back, was there a benefit to getting like the diagnosis of that, even in your of early 20s, there was.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Because it just made sense.
Yeah.
And even again with the ADHD in the last couple of years, it just makes sense. Like, another thing about the ADHD that I've come to realise in reading recipes is my attention span. I love a start, middle and finish.
So do I. Every good story, Graham.
To a story quite quickly. Now, since getting my ADHD diagnosis, I've realised I love short stories a lot more. I'm reading a lot more short stories because I get that start, middle, end quite quickly. And it can hold my attention. So that's where, it's amazing. Like, they reckon about 30% of people with either ADHD or dyslexia are the other as well.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Does one lead to the other?
They are kind of very much connected, so they are, yeah.
So when you got the dyslexia diagnosis in the early 20s, was it suggested to you then?
No.
No.
No, absolutely not. It was something I was going through a couple of years ago and it was just suggested to me to maybe look into it and look for a diagnosis. And when I did, they were like, oh yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because we've talked about that and we had like a kind of a, you know, month long series here in the programme earlier this year talking about ADHD and all that goes with it and the assessment process for adults and children. And one of the things I've learned from talking to people who've been diagnosed, particularly those actually in later life, is that it's nearly as if your life makes more sense
It makes sense. Everything, it just makes sense. Like, I remember walking out from my final consultation when she went through the report with me and I walked out, I was over on Leeson Street and I was like, I felt like my life was beginning, makes sense. Yeah, it was like just things made sense, yeah.
Now, what's interesting about all of this is that when you talk about dyslexia and you talk about, getting that diagnosis and the process of all of that, you have actually, you've published two books yourself.
Yeah. I know. I've written cookbooks and it's funny, very much in Bake and Cook, the first couple of kind of maybe 50 pages of each of the books. It's very magazine-y style. Like one of my favourite, Mam used to get Hello Magazine every single week.
Yeah.
And used to be like a page of recipes at the very back of it. And I used to cut them out every week and keep them. So that's probably my very first introduction to reading recipes was in Hello Magazine. So in Bake and Cook, the first couple of kind of chapters or so are all very magazine-y style. Like I give my introduction. Two friends of mine, Ali Dunworth and Dee Laffin, have written like essays in the book. There's a little section with all these like tips tips and tricks. So very magazine-y style, and it's something I really wanted to bring into the book.
Yeah, it's funny. One of my biggest complaints with cookbooks, typically, not with your own, but typically, is that they don't have enough pictures. Like, they work off the basis that they assume you can cook. Yeah.
Or they assume you know everything. Do you know that famous scene in... Schitt's Creek, where they're like talk about folding in the. I explain what folding in is,
well,
like, because there, like a lot of recipes will ask you to do or put in a handful of herbs.
Yeah, what is that?
What's how much is a handful?
So and I whose explain. Handful? Your handful or a child's handful?
So I explain what all these things are. Yeah.
So the diagnosis of the ADHD, you have that now. Has it changed how you do things? How you know day to day? How you kind of work your life?
Not really. I suppose one of the biggest things that it's done for me, it has taken the pressure off me, if that makes sense. I am now reading more.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I love writing. Like, I'm doing a lot of writing and I love spending time writing, which is never in me growing up.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I loved writing Bake and Cook, but they were pre having my ADHD diagnosis. And even since then, I just absolutely love sitting down with my laptop and writing. And that's something that was never there before.
Do you feel a kind of a little bit of a relief maybe in some respect as well, even actually kind of talking about it all now?
Absolutely do, because it is just like I kind of a bit like hear what I'm saying now, my words get confused a little bit and kind of I get muddled up and caught up on myself, but I have no reason for that now. Before I'd be like, oh, I just stumbled all the way through that interview, where now I'm like, well, it's the ADHD, it's just my mind is.
Well, it wasn't the case anyway. You can rest easy in the knowledge of that. Your two books. I have your second book, which is
the first one. Yeah, Bake.
Which, if you're a dessert fan at all, now this is.
Yeah, so both
right
books work
street.
Exactly the same way. They're all about traditional Irish food with modern twists. So for every traditional recipe in the book, when you turn the page, you have a more modern version of it. And that's like what I just love doing is talking about traditional Irish food. And
but I think, you know, it's lovely to chat to you, Graham, today. Normally when we've been spoken to you before, it's been in relation to kind of food and recipes and treats and all that goes with that. But, you know, I'm conscious that for maybe anybody listening today who, you know, maybe their son or daughter is in school and they're collecting them this afternoon and they're thinking, you know, they don't enjoy reading. They maybe struggle in the same way that this could maybe, you know, the cookbooks are a way to follow.
And I will just say quickly then, if that's okay, there's like a couple of small, like the Blasted book series are really good. They're an Irish produced series, but there's like books in there called Wasted. Connor Spacey wrote that, and like kids would love it. There's little essays in it, but also how to not cause food waste. There's another book, Larder, by Orla, and she kind of just what's in your press and how to make food out of it. Really short, simple little books that don't cost the earth, and they'd be a great way of kind of introducing food reading to kids.
That TV show years ago, Ready, Steady, Cook.
Ready, Steady, Cook. Yeah, that was brilliant.
Here's a bag of ingredients you have to do something with.
It's also, if you have a kid that loves helping in the kitchen, letting them read cookbooks, my imagination used to run riot, and it still does with flavours, and like I can taste something in my head by reading a recipe.
That's amazing.
And like I know what it's going to taste like, and I even if I don't have a visual of say a photographer's version of what it's going to look like, or say in my book I've them all photographed, if it's not there, my head is working overtime, my imagination works overtime, I suppose, in the same way as most people who read a novel would. They're picturing this person or what, or the scene or the scenario in their head. I'm picturing how it tastes, how it smells, the mess I'm going to make around me while I'm cooking it, all this sort of stuff. So it is making your imagination work.
Well,
as
listen,
well.
Graham, it's lovely to chat to you again. I really appreciate you popping into us here today to tell us a little bit about your own story. That is Graham Hurtrich, who, of course, as I said, if you're looking for two different cookbooks, he has Cook and Bake. It's as simple as that. Graham, thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Emails lunchtimelivenewstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday. On News Talk, conversation that counts.